in order to be blessed. Somebody say, I want to be blessed. But if you want to get something out of something, you've got to do what? Put something into something. These are certain things that you've got to do. These are three things that while I was in prayer that I was getting for our body. These are three things you must consider and activate in your life. One, your ministry. We've looked at different, you know, we're looking at the saints and see how they and seeing how they progress, seeing how they grow, and seeing how they overcome. And some people accelerate beyond others. And we're trying to find out what is the issue. What is the issue? That some people get breakthroughs and others don't get breakthroughs. Some grow. You know, some people grow and some people don't grow. Some people have the ability to endure and some people fall off by the wayside. And we said, what is the issue? How many are wondering about that? How come this one does so well? And, you know, here today, how many times have you seen a lot of here today, gone tomorrow people? Well, we want to see people stick in there and hang in there and do well. And what we've done is we looked at these are three things that will help you what? In church. Now listen, church will help you at home, but there are certain things you've got to endure in church so that things can get better at home. These are things that will make church effective for me. And when church is effective for me, guess what? Life gets better. Life will get better when you learn to get the most that you can out of fellowship and out of worship. Everybody needs to worship and everybody needs to hear the word of God. But there are certain things that got to happen so that people can come and experience church. These are the essentials of church. Well, these things have got to happen. One is your ministry. We've noticed certain things that these three things must take place for in-house fellowship. And one is your ministry's got to take place. Whether you, there are certain problems that you will run into if you don't have a consistent ministry. And someone says, well, I got a ministry. You just don't know what I'm doing. Then it's not a ministry. A ministry of God is held accountable. A ministry of God, people know about your ministry. It's not they want to butt on in your stuff. And you know, it's not like people want to butt all in your business and find out what you're doing and where you're going. It's called accountability because you want to be covered. We got people in this church. We want everybody. Your ministry might not be within the walls of this building, but you're a part of this family. So whatever you do, guess what? We're doing it with you. Whatever you do in regards to ministry, that's us doing it with you. And no man is an island unto themselves. So if you're counseling, guess what? We are counseling with you. If you're visiting the sick, guess what? We're visiting the sick with you. We are one unit and one body together. So people must know. And we found out that they, you know, I went down to our brothers and sisters down at Lakewood about 2 weeks ago before morning service. And you know what? I heard what was going on, and I saw the move of God, and I saw the grace of God. And I saw certain things, not just in the area of helps, that was precious. And that said, I said, my God, we'd miss it if we didn't get out and find out what's going on in our brothers and sisters. Sister Doty got up there on Sunday morning. The thing that was most impressive for me is when Sister Doty got up there, and she said with all of her passion, we don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. And it was so sincere. It was so sincere and it was so real that she didn't want to see anybody go to hell. And that's their thrust. And that's where they're going. Well, you know what? That's the anointing and the burden of God on her heart. You know what? We're apart. We're apart. And we can find out the same thing. And so now when I come here, I said, man, if they don't want people to die and go to hell, why should we? So we would never get that if we weren't a part of something else. Nations Church is its own church, but we are a part of something a lot larger than we are. And whenever we leave fellowship with others, you should leave us. Don't ever be a part of anything that's not a part of something else. It's scary and it's dangerous. We are meant to be linked together and bonded together and love one another. Well, it's the same thing with your ministry and with your things. Whatever we link to, you link with. If we link arms with Lakewood, when you go out to minister, you're going out to minister with Lakewood or us or whoever else is with us or Christ for the Nations. When you go out to pray for the sick, Frieda Lindsay's praying on the sick. Well, that's what it's all about. So one thing you must have to be effective in church, just because 90% of the body of Christ is missing it, you don't have to. What you're going to do is throw out your religious concept of, you know, I just go to church and I sit there. And, you know, and I just show up, and that's what it's all about. If you just come to church and you just show up, you are missing God's best for your life. That is not enough. That's the basic minimum. You must come, but you also must serve in ministry. Church attendance is not brownie points to get into heaven. You will not be rewarded for church attendance. Why? Because that's a given. That's what you created to do. You know, people going to get up there and say, I went to church every Sunday. The devil say, so did I. Devil doesn't miss a service. I mean, I could, you know, he every once in a while he'll sing a solo. I'll look over in the corner and say, ooh, what's going on over there? So church attendance is not enough to do it. You've got to come to church, and you've also got to make a difference. So one, your ministry. Your accountable ministry, something that you do consistently. Consistently, you know, not, you know, I got it for 4 or 5 weeks or 6 months, and then, you know, then it, where did it go? Let me tell you what, you got to take your ministry serious. And, you know, because your ministry makes a difference in somebody else's life, and it affects my life. You know, I get so encouraged when the saints are praying in the morning. Things got better when the saints started praying faithfully. You know what? That makes my life better. And do you know what? When my life does better, your life will do better. Your ministry makes a big difference. So it's not enough to come, but you better find an area of ministry and faithfully fulfill it. And God's given you one. We can't tell you what your ministry is. God does that. But we can make sure you do it effectively. So say, my ministry matters. So that's one area that you must knock down. The other area is your relationships in church. We found some people got knocked off because they didn't have an accountable ministry. So they get mad and they leave church because they didn't have an accountable ministry. There are a lot of people that are in church today because they don't have an accountable ministry. But there are a bunch of other people that don't come to church and don't make it in church, don't get blessings because they've never considered their relationships in church. I'm going to tell you one, a big part of church is not just when you come in and sing the songs and worship God. Some say, it's just me and the Holy Ghost and it's nobody else. Well, you got a big problem. You got a big problem. That's not right. You got to come to church. It's going to be the Holy Ghost there, but I'm going to be there. And somebody else is going to be there. And a large part of what you're going to get from God is going to come from the people that you sit with, people that you minister to, who you drink coffee with. You know, God can minister any kind of way. That doesn't mean you get out there in the lobby and knock people on the floor and act all crazy and in the parking lot. I'm just talking about you can minister. There are certain people that can get their need met at the snack machine. They can get ministered to, and you walk up to them with tears, you know, say, look, I appreciate you so much. And they'll get more out of that one little sentence that you speak than they would me from preaching 5 minutes and us singing 22 songs. So don't just, when we say, listen, take two or three minutes after service. Don't just run out and say, somebody needs me. It's not over yet. Don't just think, if I can just make it in the door at 11:05. Well, somebody might be there. Somebody might be there at 10:45 and pull up in the parking lot, and that is your opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. You've got to minister before church and after church. Some people won't be able to hear the Word of God until they see somebody's smiling face. Do you know that? That you have a responsibility? When that thing starts up, we walk into the building, we hear, and ministry begins. How does ministry begin? You know, I walk out in the lobby and I see ministry taking place. You know, that makes a difference. You know, how many of you have been ministered to in the foyer? How many of you have been turned off in the foyer? You can either be turned on or turned off. So that makes a big difference. Say, these are things that we can do. We've had a message that many of you might want to get this video, this tape. And the tape was watering word seeds. I can preach the best messages in the world. You hear what I'm saying? I could find revelation knowledge from God, and you know that won't be enough? Do you know that it has to be watered? We had that message where it said that Paul preached, but watering word seeds. Watering word seeds. Listen, after the thing is over, listen, after that message is preached, it needs water. What we do, all we give is seeds. All we give is seeds, and a seed in dry ground won't do you any good. You have got to get the Word of God from here. You got to get the seed from here. But you need to get into relationship with good people that spew out good things in their mouth that will water the seed. I love being around people that water seeds instead of pulling them up. You ever been around people that, you know, there are some people, I mean, it's like they got bleach in their mouth, you know, or alcohol in their mouth, you know. You hear a good message, and by the time you get to the restaurant, that seed is dead. Get around people that are excited about the Word of God, that water seeds. I get ministered to that way. Talk to me about what the Holy Ghost said, because it's the Spirit of God. It's not a form, it's not all that stuff. It's God's Spirit, and you need to have your seeds watered. And as soon as you get in a relationship with good people that will talk about good things, don't let the messages die when you leave the building. Get around some people that will talk about that thing and say, I'm not going to let this word die. Water it. Don't just put it in a package and put it on the shelf. You talk with one another about what the Holy Ghost has been saying. Talk about it until God is finished. And if you talk, when you talk about the Word of God and not let that Word die, guess what? It will germinate. And that will only happen with relationships. You know, don't think relationship is just talking about cars and trucks, you know. But also use your relationship and say, hey, what's going on? What's going on in my life? So I say, I will be a seed waterer. And seed watering only takes place in relationship. You will not be fed properly the Word of God just because I can give you a clear and accurate message. That won't do it for you. It's a beginning. But a church will grow and be able to take advantage of the Word of God when they get into relationship with people that water seeds. Notice this. The ones that are still here and are still holding on are people that had relationships that watered seed. There's always negative stuff. I tell you, there's negative stuff everywhere you're going to go. You can find some junk. But junk is not going to junk is not going to help you. You can't talk junk and expect things to get better. Talk about the Word of God. And if you talk about the Word of God, you'll be okay. Find your seed waterer right now and shake their hand and say thank you. And tell them, I appreciate you for watering seed. Find somebody that waters seed. If you've got a seed water, tell them that you appreciate them. Tell somebody, I appreciate you watering seeds in my life. Dalton, when we took that class on prosperity, you kept it in your mouth and it kept going on. That was seed watering. So I say, I've got a watering pot. And the watering pot is my mouth. So everybody say, your ministry? How many of you got a ministry? Accountable ministry. An accountable ministry. Your relationships. Your ministry. Somebody say your ministry and your relationships. Okay. So these are things you need to add to your life. Your ministry and your relationship. And as the Holy Ghost, I've been instructed to teach you on the third one. The other is your offering. What? Yes. Somebody say your offering. So your ministry, your relationships, and your offering. All three of those things are crucial. All three of those things have got to happen for a church to survive. People have got to minister, people have got to give, people have got to get along, and people have got to give. As far as I got to say with offerings this morning, how many of y'all been enjoying the offering teachings? I tell you, this is an offering. Do you know your tithe is not an offering? Everybody say, my tithe is not my offering. Your tithe belongs to God already. So God is not, I mean, if I give you a bunch of money, you know, if I sow to you a bunch of money and Christmas time comes, let's say I loan you my lawnmower and my birthday comes up and you box my lawnmower back up and give it to me for my present. It's the truth. And that's what many people think. You know, the tithe already belongs to God. Can I let you know another secret with that? Can I let you on something else? Guess what? Everything you have belongs to God. He just lets you keep 90% of it. It's not that you're sowing 10%. Stop thinking like that. What you're doing is you get to keep and invest 90%. Somebody say, it all belongs to God. So don't ever say, I give my tithes. Tithes should not be, don't consider it an offering and pat yourself on the back when you sow a tithe. It already belongs to God. And you know, and then when you don't do it, God calls you what? A thief and a robber. So there are many services that we go to. Now we have to get these teachings in our heart. And there are many things you go to. We worship God with all of our heart and then we rob him. But your offering is what you choose to do. The decision of the tithe, whether you realize it or not, the decision was already made and it's non-debatable. That belongs to God, whether you sow it or not. It already belongs to God. But your offering is what you decide to do. Your tithe will keep the curse from off of you, and your offering will bring abundance. So one, your ministry, your relationship, and your offerings. When you sync up, we've looked at different things in different areas of people's life, and there are some that are awesome in the area of finance. And they excel in that area, and they're doing so well. And I was thinking about some other areas. I was thinking about a lot of areas, you know. And he said, the Lord said, there are three areas. And these three areas, he said, I can move in a higher level when people get these three areas. And the Lord said that that area of ministry, even though you minister, that accountable area of ministry, he said, that is the third cord that binds the miraculous. So there are a lot of people, you might have two or three of them down. And a lot of times we don't have these things down because we don't know. If we would hold all three of these things as crucial as and important, and some of us say,
well, the thing that's most important is the tithe and the offering. Well, that's no more important than your relationships. And there are some people that don't tithe, but they have great relationships. There are some people that have great relationships. They hang out with everybody, and they pay all the bills and stuff like that, but they have no accountable ministry, and when they get to heaven, that will be there'll be a void in their life. All three of those areas, listen to me. I'm hearing this by the Spirit of God. But these are three areas, and many people don't nail them in all three. How many of you have ever heard this before? Your offering, your relationship, and your ministry. What would happen if we all mastered those things? If we all mastered those things, I tell you what, we would see growth in this place, unstoppable. God would do many mighty things. So pray over these areas in your lives. Before we go, I want you to think about these things. One is, somebody say, three areas. And consider these three areas the way it was. Everybody say, the way it was. The way it is. And the way it shall be. I talk to the Holy Ghost. And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. These are things you don't want to forget. Those three things are three things you want to have and activate. But these three things you want to consider in order to be successful in life, successful in ministry, and successful in the Spirit of God. One, God said, don't forget the way it was. I want you to consider the way it is. And I also want you to know the way it shall be. Think about it also in this way. The way it was. Jesus died yesterday. It was a rough time the way it was. God forgets all of your sins, but don't forget what he's brought you from. You can remember your testimony. Remember your testimony. Turn your temptation. Listen, a temptation is not a testimony. See, many people are tempted by their past to go back again. But those that are strong in the Lord are no longer tempted by their past to return again, but they've turned that temptation into a testimony. I used to be bound to this, but God delivered me and set me free. See, I'm not tempted by my past anymore. My past has become my testimony. God said, if we're going to overcome as a body, people need to remember the way it was. And the way it was no matter what it was this way, but Jesus died yesterday. I was sick in sin, but Jesus died yesterday and delivered me. I was abused and abandoned and destroyed, but Jesus died and set me free. You got to remember where you came from. Like we talked about that other night in that message. Listen, remember where you came from. Don't ever forget your testimony. That's why the faith of the children of Israel did not work to the level that God wanted to work. It's because they forgot what the Lord had done. Don't ever forget what God did for you. Amen. Let me tell you what. When you forget your past, I'm talking about what God did for you. Don't remember all the. See, we are so quick to remember people's offenses, but we don't ever remember how God got us over it.
That's right.
I mean, we'll remember what mommy and daddy did to us and that little third grade teacher, but we forget what God did for us. Maybe you have time to clean your brain cells out of all your offenses and all your crooked stuff and all the mess, then you can remember God's best. God did more for you than your enemy did to you. I tell you what, when God does great, in my desk, different times when we're discouraged and things are going on, when y'all get blessed, I Xerox stuff. Somebody gets blessed and they sow a big offering, I Xerox it and put it in my desk and I say, that's God. I will not forget what God did. I will use it for his praise and for victory. Don't forget your testimony. So the way it was is Jesus died yesterday. And also, in the way it was, this is why God wants you to remember the way it was. Because somebody is watching you. In the area of relationship, when you're thinking about the way it was, I want you to realize somebody that's still in that the way it was is watching you, trying to find out how you made it out. And they'll never find the secret. They'll never escape from Alcatraz until you give them a testimony and say, this is how I made it out. There are many people that are stuck in holes and stuck in ruts, not because we can't preach them out of it, but they need the testimony, your testimony. I can remember when I got into this thing, I went to a church, they had testimony service, and I would hear the same say, I was just, somebody said, my mind, God renewed my mind, and he's restored my mind and set me free. There are people out there think they're going loco. And I tell you what, there are a lot of us in here at times that we thought we were loco. God delivered us and set us free. You know, I don't get depressed anymore, but there were times in my life when I was offering the ministry, I would get so depressed, I would sit on the bus, on the tour bus, in between concerts, and just look out the window for hours and not say a word to anybody else. Depression. But Jesus sets us free. He'll set us free. So I know what it feels like to be whatever you call manic depressive when you get depressed for weeks on end. The only time I would smile, the only time I would say anything is when I have to go out on stage. There were people that dealt with me with that for 3 months. I went out on tour and was going around on tour just as messed up. I'd get out there and dance, jump on the pew and scream and holler. And then if I left the platform, I'd go right to the van and not say a word to anybody. So I know what it feels like. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus can set you free.
Yes.
I'm not tempted to be depressed anymore. It's now my testimony. You'll always be tempted by the things that you come out of until you make them a testimony. And the reason why you make them a testimony is because somebody is watching you. A testimony is what? A record. A record. There are some people that won't believe what God did for you unless you have evidence. When you get healed, keep the records. Keep your medical reports. Take people and let people know this is evidence for what God has done. You know, because there's so many people out there testifying. There's so many people out there testifying. You know, and we've had so many testifiers out there that people don't believe the truth. They say, here is the report right here. Here it is right here. I want to show you the truth that God really does do some things. Document it. Let them know. This is where I came from, and this is what I got right now. So Xerox your bank account when you got all them NSFs on it. Say, this is where I came from, and this is what it is today. So turn it. Document. A testimony is document. Start thinking about it. Document your mess right now. If you believe God's going to come out of it, start documenting it. Start Xeroxing that stuff. Are you Xeroxing to meditate and say, no, devil, I'm not doing it. I'm letting people know how bad it was. I'm getting ready for that's what it used to be, and this is what it is now. Anybody seen them pictures on TV when they have the huge woman on the television, and they show the thing, and they say before and after? Well, you need to start taking before pictures because God's about to do something in your life. God's about to do something in your life. And people would never believe, amen, people would never believe what you came from unless you got evidence. Not everybody in here had clean, fresh hair. Some of us were depressed. Our hair was greasy for weeks on end. Man, I know people that were so depressed they couldn't put their shoes on. You didn't always look great. And there are some people that are suffering right now because you refuse to let people know what you came from. Your bills weren't always paid. You had caller ID checking too. You just wouldn't answer it. Some of y'all were answering and almost speaking in tongues. He no here. But there are some people in here that are going through some stuff right now. You didn't always have it together. Oh, let me bless you. Anybody got seed? I got seed. You know, we take up the offering and say, anybody got seed? I'll give it to you. You weren't always like that. Amen. Offering time came and you were the first one to clench that purse. Amen. Leave it in the car so you know you're not tempted. I used to do that. I used to write my check before I went to the meeting in case God moved on my heart. Yeah. I'd go to conference, and you know the Holy Ghost would get my behind up and have me walking through the parking lot. All right, I'm going. You know, the usher's looking at you, say, look at him running away from the offering. I want to look at him. I'm going to get my money. Yeah. We all have come from some junk. You'll find out that, you know, don't be ashamed. Keep your testimony. Listen to this. There's a scripture for that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own lives unto death. If we want to have an overcomer's ministry, we got to have a testimony.
Amen.
Okay? I want you to know if you're dealing with something right now, you are not the only one. Somebody has been there. Chances are there is somebody else that's there right now. You are not alone. God finds, I believe supernaturally, as God leads you to places, he always sends them in twos. I believe he'll set you up supernaturally so people can just relate to you. He's not going to send you someplace. He said, well, listen, they're all white folk in there. They can't deal with what I got, or they're all this. God knows what's there's there. You're going to find someone that's been exactly where you are. Different face, same person. Now that was the way it was. So say, that's how I deal with yesterday. How do you deal with today? How do you deal with today? Someone say, the way it is. It's like that. And that's the way it is. You got to, everybody say, it's like that. And that's the way it is. You got to think, Jesus died yesterday and he rose this morning. And that's the way it is. No matter what you're thinking about, no matter what it was yesterday, guess what? Jesus rose this morning and it's all right. That's the way it is. Now, you notice that in the way it was, there's something that God uses your testimony for. The way it was is for somebody that's where you used to be.
That's right.
But when you get into kingdom now, that's the way it is. Kingdom now. In kingdom now, you'll find a new person when you deal with that's the way it is, when you get real. There are many people that can't deal with the reality because, you know, don't have anybody that can relate to where they all your friends are phony because you're phony. I mean, you get up there and y'all hold whole conversations over dinner meals, amen, of stuff that ain't true. Looking at each other, you know that's not your real life. Stop lying to each other and get over it. You just, anybody been around phony people? They wear their best dress and try to act like it's that they just pulled it out of the closet. Listen, the way it is, in the way, when you start living in the way it is, that's the best way to live. I tell you what, it's when you're real with yourself right now. There is a covenant brother or a covenant sister that you will receive when you start living in the way it is. Thank you.